Our lesson this morning comes from the book of Jeremiah, and I'm reading it from Eugene Peterson's version, The Message. Hear God's Word. This is what God said. Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. A prophet to the nations, that's what I had in mind for you. But I said, hold it, Master God. Look at me. I don't know anything. I'm only a boy. And God told me, don't say I'm only a boy. I'll tell you where to go and you'll go there. I'll tell you what to say and you'll say it. Don't be afraid of a soul. I'll be right there looking after you. God's decree. God reached out, touched my mouth and said, look, I've just put my words in your mouth, hand-delivered. See what I've done? I've given you a job to do among nations and governments, a red-letter day. Your job is to pull up and tear down, take apart and demolish, and then start over, building and planting. May God give us understanding of His holy word, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Well, my friends, it seems, as we said before, that people always have excuses, always have reasons why they can't do things. And actually, when I was thinking about this passage and about this message this morning, I did a little Google on excuses, and I was really interested to find that when I Googled good excuses, I came up with 27,300,000 items listed all on good excuses. And when I Googled best excuses ever, there were 14,700,000, and so on, for every variation of excuses. So it seems like everybody is looking for good excuses. And it shouldn't really come as any big surprise, because if you think back to the Garden of Evil, or Garden of Eden, that turned out to be the Garden of Evil, here's Adam and Eve, right? And they're out there caught red-handed with that apple, and what have they got? Excuses. It's her fault. It's the snake's fault. Right? So we come by excuses, you know, honestly, so to speak. They seem to be part of our history and our heritage. Well, I did that Google search, and I was trying to find some really good excuses to share with you, in case you're looking for good excuses. And so I was actually, in some ways, disappointed that I didn't find, you know, some better ones, but I thought I'd share with you a couple of them. One that was particularly unusual was, did you hear the one about the woman who couldn't go to work because her chicken's feet were frozen to the driveway? Yeah, this is actually an excuse that a real person used with their boss. So next winter, if we get some bad weather, try it. Try it. There was one employee who said he couldn't go to work because his roommate had locked up all his clothes out in the back shed as a practical joke. So he had nothing to wear. And this one I felt really sympathetic to. An employee was so upset because his favorite American Idol contestant was voted off. He just couldn't make it into work that day. Yeah, that brings a tear. And then, well, this is one that we could use. A groundhog bit the employee's car tire and causing it to go flat. Well, we've got groundhogs, right? So that might be one we could do. And some of the really creative ones are given to insurance companies by drivers. So they show really a lot of ingenuity. The other car collided with mine without giving any warning of its intentions. Yeah. A pedestrian hit me and went under my car. That was a little hard for me to buy. The guy was all over the road. I had to swerve several times before I hit him. And then, oh, Letterman, he had a top 10 excuses for when you get caught falling asleep at your desk. Yeah, one of them was, they told me at the blood bank this just might happen. So, if you want to try this one, make sure you sign up for our blood mobile, okay? Sign up for that, and then you can use this one. Phew, I guess I left the top off the whiteout. You probably got here just in time. I was testing my keyboard for drool resistance. That's a little creepy. Oh, this one we can use. This one we can use. The number one best thing to say if you get caught sleeping at your desk, in Jesus' name, amen. That's a good one. That's a good one. That one is almost, it's almost as good as the one for a young man who was in a communion class, and he was he failed to bring in his homework, and his excuse was that he couldn't get his Bible unzipped. That's another one we can use, right? Oh, I wanted to do my devotions today, but that Bible, that zipper was stuck. Yeah. So, I mean, there are excuses for everything imaginable, right? Yes.
Going back to your groundhog story, and this is a cute story, this just happened this past week. A friend of mine went to go into a car and he felt smoke coming out of the car. She ran to get her husband, and her groundhog was under the car eating the wires. And he's perfectly coming underneath the car. So they can use that excuse.
This is a true story. Groundhog under the car chewing the wires, and there was smoke. So yes, that those groundhogs, boy, they ought to be good for something, right? Absolutely, absolutely. But we, you know, we come up with excuses for why we can't go to work, why we don't go to the doctor, why we don't go to the dentist, why we need to leave early, why we can't get our homework in, why we can't get certain work done. There are any number of excuses that people come up for a variety of things. Why is that? Well, invariably, it's not that we don't want to do the right thing. There are things in our lives that just can seem overwhelming. Have you ever had that sense? You've wanted to do something, but it just seems so big, so impossible. And I'm sure that that's how Jeremiah felt. Here is God. He's feeling that he's a small, weak boy. What does he know? What resources does he have? What can he do that really makes any difference? And what's interesting about the time in which Jeremiah was called was, in his introduction, Gene Peterson talks about when Jeremiah's ministry began, the people of Judah just wanted to float on the good economic times. As war, ruthless political factions, ambition, corruption, and eventually economic collapse and famine gradually sucked the nation under, the people just were scrambling to hang on to anything they could to stay alive. It was a time not unlike our own. And they were following the wrong path. They were listening to the wrong people. And so here was Jeremiah, this young man called by God. And called by God to do something very scary. To confront people about their wrong ideas. To confront them about the things that they had backwards. And it was not a comfortable position for him to be in. We too find ourselves living in this culture, in this time, called to very difficult things. And we don't always know how to do it. And when we don't know, it's very easy for us to take that last resort of looking for excuses, thinking about reasons to get us off the hook. But here's the deal. God's not letting you off the hook. He never lets any of us off the hook. He doesn't go away. When I was back home, we went to, I was on vacation out in California, and my mom has a little piece of property, and she bought it as an investment, and it's got a little garage sitting on it. And behind it, when she first bought it years ago, it had a couple of little, almost looked like bushes that were there. And she didn't think too much about it. And those bushes, they kind of grew, and they kind of grew. So when we went to see it, those so-called bushes are now about 5 stories tall. And the whole little backyard, the whole area surrounding that garage, is just like this, with trees, big trees. When the time comes that she does anything with that property, or anybody who does, it is going to cost tens of thousands of dollars to cut down those trees. And all that was needed was early on to cut them when they're bushes, to cut them when they're small. My friends, each of us have similar kinds of things. Now, at the time, my mom was busy. She had a lot of legitimate reasons. She was caring for my elderly grandmother who needed constant attention. And throughout the years since that time, there have been all these good, even legitimate reasons. But meanwhile, those trees, they're still growing. They're still getting taller and will continue to. And what is she going to do? We all have those things in our lives. Things we don't want to face, things we don't want to do, things we want to avoid. But if God is calling you, there is no avoiding. By the same token, when God is with you, the most amazing things are possible. I was just struck by a story that you probably saw yourself. There's, you know, all the Got Talent shows out there. And China's Got Talent has a very interesting contestant. He's a young man who from a tiny, tiny boy always wanted to play the piano. Some of you may have heard this story. And he always, that was his big love. When he was 10 years old, he was in a terrible accident and literally lost both of his arms. No arms at all. And yet, here's this young man, who's 23 years old now, competing in China, doing what? Playing the piano with his toes, with his feet, and the most beautiful music. The most beautiful music, not just a halfway pianist, not just because he's, you know, unusual, but beautiful, beautiful music. Here's a guy that was not about to let excuses of any kind get in his way. Now, I don't know that he's a Christian or not, but if he's not, all the more powerful. Because if someone who doesn't have the power of God in them can do something like that, what do you think you and I can do with God's power in us? We can do amazing, amazing things. It's amazing how those excuses will creep in little ways and keep us from doing even the littlest things that God calls us to do. There's a story about a 1953 Nobel Peace Prize winner who came in on the train and he was greeted by all the reporters and all the cameras flashing and all this attention. And as he got off the train, he thanked them for the welcome, and then he excused himself for a minute. But this was a good excuse. He went over to the train where he had seen an elderly black woman trying to get off the train with these big bags that she could hardly carry. And he helped her get the bags off and then helped her get on a bus so she could continue her journey. And then he returned to the crowd. You see, friends, there are good excuses and there are bad excuses. But all of it has to do with what God is calling us to and who we are to be as God's people. We have incredible opportunities every day. And we have absolutely no excuse. If God is calling us, He'll provide what we need to do it. No excuses. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for all of your good gifts. And we pray that you would give us the courage, like Jeremiah, to follow wherever you lead us, no matter how difficult, no matter how impossible. We, especially in the church today, Lord, with all the change that's going on, we pray that you would help us to be a people of no excuses, a people who know who they're following, and a people who have the courage to go wherever you take us. In your name we pray. Amen.